Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hope you're doing well. Here we are in the middle of spring, heading towards Easter weekend. Kids are on spring break, baseball in full swing. What more do you want out of life, really? I know what you want, a podcast. So that's why we're here. How's it going, Paul?
I'm in dreary Sacramento, at least today it is. It's been raining.
Oh,
so
weird.
So it doesn't feel like
I was
like
in San
it.
Francisco last weekend, and it was gorgeous.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You have that luck of all those cities that are supposed to be crappy, like Seattle, San Francisco, mm-hmm. they're all sunny when you go.
Yeah, I've been on a. Well, I think the gods give you that when you go to Bismarck and Bozeman and those places and St. Paul in the middle of the winter. God's like, all right, you're obviously fearless, so I'll give you some sunshine in these other places. Had great shows in San Francisco. Well, thank you to all the good people who came out. More shows on the horizon, going to Boston, Winnipeg, Northampton, Mass, Jersey, New York, live Come to Papa coming up in a couple weeks. Go to tompapa.com and look them all up. Also, the book, How Your Dad Stole My Rake and Other Family Dilemmas. Sold so many copies that were going on to paperback.
Nice.
And that is coming out in, I think, about 3 weeks.
Cool.
I'm not sure if you can pre-order that on Amazon or how that all works, but keep an eye out for that. I think you will enjoy. And I think that's it. Paul has a website.com for Paul and his crazy whereabouts. And I think we're all caught up.
Yeah, where are you this week? I forget
this
if you
week,
were going
to. I am not. This week, Live From Here is going to be in New York, but it's Easter weekend, and I have family coming out. So I couldn't leave them and go to where they came from in New York and skip Easter. So I won't be there this week, but I will be there in Nashville a week from Saturday.
Nice.
And I'll do Out in America from good old Nashville.
Where are they doing? Nice. What theater is it?
I think it's the Ryman, maybe.
Well, that's the historical one. You gotta dig that one.
Yeah, I love all that kind of stuff. I wonder if that is indeed. I think it is. Let me just double check. But I believe that. I believe that's where it's from.
Yeah, I'm just up here in Sacramento. Is the club that I actually started at. They're trying to get some history going again. It's one of the oldest clubs in the country. It's 1977, I think.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just this old kind of like factory building, but it's got that like kind of really cool. It's almost like the cellar. It's got those brick walls kind of keep everything in and low.
Oh, nice.
So it's got this kind of cool sound. But the one thing that was really funny is, so I would, you know, about an hour away, I would do my sports cast, and then I would drive down and do, you know, the open mics and all that kind of stuff. But but when I worked at the TV station, our intern was this guy named Curtis Ming, who, you know, was a super, like, studious, almost like Encyclopedia Brown kind of guy, and just really smart right off the bat. And even as an intern, he was breaking these like big stories about fires and shootings and stuff, and it was almost to the point where like, Are you starting these fires on purpose, Curtis, just to cover them for your news? And yeah, he ended up, he's kind of like a superstar in news. And so in Sacramento, he has his own segment called Call Curtis. Like if you're, you know, the consumers are getting beat down by a company, you call him and he investigates it kind of like 60 Minutes and stuff. So, right. So they had me like dig up a couple of the old file footages, and I did Good Day Sacramento, and we had fun for a couple hours. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did it make you want to venture back into broadcast?
No, because you saw those people. I mean, we get up for flights, but these people are up every morning at like 2 a.m. to do these like morning news shows. It's just you got to keep your energy at this like ridiculous level. And like, you know, I'm a comedian just coming in there, and you can tell they're already on like hour 3, and there's like tumblers and circus people coming in and out of there. It's just crazy. So
yeah, those are crazy environments. Whenever you have to go in there, it's like, I remember going in like markets that I would return to, like Cleveland. And like the first year you go and you see the morning people and you're doing the show and it's fun and they're like all, you know, new to the job and filled with energy. And then like by the third year you go rolling in, they've just been working out, coming in the middle of the day and trying to be excited at 6 o'clock in the morning every day.
Yeah.
It's it slowly destroys them.
Yeah, there's no way to get your body used to it, you know? I mean, it really is like a crazy, you know, just the fact, I mean, I'm so lucky that every job that I've ever had has been a night job, you know? Like my, even my news anchor thing was like, you go in at 3 p.m. and you're done at midnight, just like a comedian, so.
Right. Did you see that, the big fire in Paris?
Yeah, that's going on now, right? So it's So are they blaming the Hunchback, or who did it?
Apparently, it was a construction problem. Some kind of, they were doing some work on it, and apparently someone did something. Someone made a mistake.
Yeah, that's my guess is every single person was smoking that was doing construction on it.
Yeah,
because it's France.
It's brutal.
And yeah, that's crazy though, man. That it, you know, that it just goes up like that. What? I mean, that's mostly stone, right? Except for that spire, I guess, is wood.
But. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, isn't it? I would think most of it would be stone.
But have you ever gone?
No, you?
Yeah, I went there once, and. I'm not sure if I went inside. I think it was like one of those tour. Like, I went to Versailles and I went to Notre Dame, and then yeah, there's that whole thing in Paris where all the old buildings, like the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe, all that stuff is like older, and then they have like the newer stuff, and a lot of people hate the old stuff and love the new stuff, and a lot of people hate the new, you know, like the glass pyramid at the Louvre, like everyone hates that, like
right.
So
all
but
the traditionalists.
Yeah, I think everybody loved Notre Dame though. That seemed to be one of those things that like everyone kind of likes to
so
see.
Crazy that it's Easter week.
Yeah, right. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
So
no, it's not. That doesn't go well. If you're looking for any hidden meeting, maybe you want to turn the channel on that one. Hey, did you see Tiger yesterday?
Well, that's the whole thing. Is I was kind of following it, was because it was a Sunday morning, and I think I watched it just late enough, like after it happened, that they stopped showing highlights and they just started talking to everyone about what it was like. And I was like, just go over the match. You know how they do that? If you're like an hour late on news now, they don't even go, they don't even go over it. Like you're too late for it. They just analyze it over and over again and they don't show the highlights. So,
So you didn't catch it while it was happening. You mean?
No. I just saw the tweets. You were watching.
Yeah, I was, you know, I kept an eye on it over the weekend, and then when I flew home, I just got I walked in the house. It was on the 15th.
Oh, great!
So I just got to watch the rest of it. That was amazing. Everybody was rooting for him.
Yeah, that's crazy that, you know, because he didn't really make, like, a big putt, right? Like, even that last hole,
yeah,
he kind of just, like, played it safe. Because usually you have to make, like, one big shot those last two or three holes to win it, but...
Yeah, he birdied a couple of them, but then, then he bogeyed the last one. He was just trying not to blow it.
Yeah, which a lot of guys have, man. It's
11 years.
Well, even that last putt, I mean, that's a, what, 6-foot putt? I would have missed that.
I know, and everybody acts like it's just a tap-in.
Yeah, that's crazy. $1 million
on
the line.
It was really good to see, though. You got to love a comeback.
Well, that's the thing, you know. So basically, where was this guy as far as, like, on the social spectrum? Was he an outcast? Was he just forgotten?
Like, no, I don't think he was an outcast. I mean, his problems were personal with his family, and you know, he didn't do anything to the culture or to the people out in society other than disappoint a lot of people. And then, you know, he obviously, like, was paying for it, and he was just a wreck for all those years, and then he had the back problems, and you know, he was so beloved for so long. I think people, you know, maybe if not at first they were rooting for him, by the time this came around, it was like you could just see the crowds just growing all weekend long. It was just thousands and thousands of people. And it was, I think, everybody. It would be very rare to find people who were rooting against him at that point.
Yeah. No, it almost felt like everyone was like, well, he suffered so much. And then I'm kind of thinking back. I was like, well, it's not like, you know, because, like, let's say he wanted to do the Tonight Show a couple weeks ago. They probably wouldn't have had him on, right?
No, he was still, I think, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But I think that he was still a star, but he wasn't, you know, it was based off of his old reputation more than what he's done lately, for sure. And now, forget it. Now he's right back on top of everything.
Well, I just meant, like, as far as, I mean, listen, he's kind of always been an all business kind of dude anyway. He probably isn't super duper friendly. And right. And then, but, you know, of course he was this, you know, sponsorship darling and was presented as, like, this perfect person, which of course nobody is. So then when he gets divorced and all these kind of, like, embarrassing things go public, then he can't, you know, he can't have that image anymore. So then what is his image? Is he, you know, like, it's not a sellable image, I guess. It's almost like, you know, Lance Armstrong didn't really do anything to hurt anybody else either, but he was cheating in a sport that everybody else was cheating at.
Yeah, but don't you think he was different because he was lying to us all those years, like being asked straight up, and he was just looking in our faces and lying over and over again? I think that's different.
Yeah, but I mean, Tiger basically was too. I mean, he's trying to present himself as, like, the family guy driving a Lincoln, and he's banging chicks two at a time in Vegas.
Yeah, but it's not like they were showing him, like, in a minivan with children. He was just had that all-American smile and good guy kind of thing going. But, you know, he wasn't being asked, like, straight up, hey, are you doing this? Are you cheating, right? And you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He was like, you know, Lance was lying and then winning again and then lying again. And, I mean, you know. You come out of that, we all feel like a chump. It's like, you know, because Tiger had extramarital affairs, it's like, all right, well, he's, you know, he's flawed, but it wasn't as personal to the public as Lance's was.
Yeah, but he had, like, a couple, like, he was definitely into some weird stuff, and all those ladies went on all the talk shows, and then he got that weird DUI where he was, like, passed out in his truck. He was on pills or something, remember that? Yeah, he had, like, a couple bumps, man. He wasn't just...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, but I think the public you know, those little bumps are much more forgivable than what Lance was doing.
Yeah.
I don't think Lance never comes back, right, as a personality.
Well, I just think it might be the same type of, you know, basically all this money is coming in based on this image or this thing that you're trying to keep up, which is, you know, for Tiger, I'm this family guy. And for Lance, I'm, you know, I don't do drugs and I'm clean, but I'm raising money for cancer people. And Tiger's got all his charities and stuff. And I think both those guys were trying to keep up the image just to keep the money coming in. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's more similar just because Lance, you know, in that documentary, it's like, I would have definitely, he said he would have admitted it, but like there's millions and millions of dollars coming in based on that cancer stuff. And it's like, you're helping all these people by not telling the truth. I mean, that is really a weird situation. Like,
but how much of it do you think was for his ego and how much was it for the charity, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was his identity for a long time, was that whole...
And not only his identity, it was, you know, cycling was... That's what he did, and he cheated at the thing that he did. It's right. Not like Tiger was cheating at golf, or like Pete Rose, like, you know, getting caught gambling on the sport that you are involved in. You know, that's different. I mean, this is just a guy that was playing golf, and then his personal life, him and his wife and his girlfriends, a big sordid mess. Obvious, definitely ugly, but it wasn't related to golf. It wasn't something that, like, he was brought out in front of everybody and lied about. You know, it was just a awful situation with his personal life.
Yeah, I don't think he disrespected the sport or anything, but...
Yeah, exactly, which is why I think yesterday was such a huge moment, because unlike Lance, everybody was pulling for this guy to win another one. And it was just, that's why the crowds were so huge, and it was such a big event. I mean, you know, him hugging his son in the same spot where he hugged his father when he won the first time, and it was just such a great story. I think, you know, his sins and his failings were just more human and more forgivable. And that's, I think it was just proven that way by the response when he won yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, both of them are playing sports that nobody would really care about unless it was for either of them, you know? Like, yeah. like Tiger being good is good for golf. Like, there was that whole time where he could have just started his own tour instead of the PGA, and it would have been more popular, you know?
Yeah.
But it, yeah.
No, it was great. It was so cool just to see him with his kids. There was that funny moment with the girlfriend. It was like you had the kid, the son, and then the daughter, and then the mom, and it was like, and who's that?
Well, that's the thing that was kind of funny, is that they're trying to, like, even then they're portraying it like, oh, he's just this dad, and it's like, no, it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, but man, what a great moment. That was very cool.
It was, and I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, you know, John Daly is never gonna have to apologize for anything, you know? Like, if Tiger was just John Daly from the beginning and just mm-hmm. said, hey, I like chicks, my wife's cool with it, she was a she was a model anyway, she's a nanny, she's trying to get my money.
How about that comedian that died on stage the other night?
Yeah, I heard about that. A guy was relatively famous over there, right? It was kind of like a button pusher kind of guy, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't really know him. I didn't really know who he was, but he obviously was a real guy on the scene.
Yeah. I knew there was a couple guys from the UK that had some stories about him just working like road gigs. He just seemed like, you know, almost like an 80s guy here, like a John Fox or something, that like... He was just always kind of doing gigs and always working, and yeah, they said he wasn't feeling well, but of course he's living to do these shows, and yeah, he went out on the stage, man.
Yeah, and he made a comment about it that, like, imagine if I had a heart attack right here on stage, and then he did,
oh,
and
man.
he and the crowd just started laughing because they thought it was a bit. And he just slumped over, and they just kept laughing for a while, like an Andy Kaufman kind of thing. It just kept going on, and it kept getting funnier. And, yeah, he was already gone.
So crazy. Yeah, I mean, what's the...
Do you ever get the feeling when you're on stage that you might collapse?
No, did I tell you that story a couple weeks ago when we were doing shows in Florida? I was in Miami, and the host was like a guy who was not, you know, mid-40s, and he was smoking cigarettes every, like, 10 minutes and then drinking Red Bull. Mm. And, you know, he's supposed to come up and get me, and it's just Ari there. And so he's like, yeah, the host went down. Apparently they called the paramedics, and this guy, like, he thought he was going to pass out. They thought he was having a heart attack, but I guess he just was, like, passed out. So I don't know if it was, like, you know, one of those guys that was, like, hungover and he's smoking and Red Bull and it's, like, making his brain all crazy, or if he was just a guy that was getting nervous. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times when I'm up on stage and I'm in the middle of it and think, if I just feel weird, I'll think, what would happen if I did go down right now? I mean, that's the whole show.
Yeah,
there's no backup dancers. There's no, like, you can't just keep rolling the film. It's just, this is just it.
Yeah, I used to think about that, like, on the way to, like, a TV thing or something like that. I was like, what if I just got lost on the way there or didn't do the show? Or I don't think about it, like, on stage like that, though. Because it's, you know, it's weird, all those instincts. Like, you know, they have that thing, like, no one's ever, I've never sneezed on stage, have you? Like,
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's all these, like, things that happen in normal life that you just don't allow to happen while you're on stage. And I don't know what that is. Some kind of mindset. I think
or adrenaline. Some it just kind of overrides it. Like, I've never only one time did I really even feel sick on stage. Like, you could feel sick just walking around, and then you get on stage and you feel normal, and then you go back to feeling sick when you get off. Only one time when I had a really bad flu, did I actually go on stage and feel weak.
Yeah.
I've lost my voice a bunch.
And you got, like, lightheaded?
Yeah. We're just, like, leaning against the stool, like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if this is really going to work.
You know what I feel? I bet you that happens a lot in, you know how, like, when you live in New York and you're doing, like, a million sets, and being on stage kind of seems, like, almost too normal? Mm-hmm. I feel like it could happen, like, in those kind of times. But when we're doing, like, these big shows and nice theaters and stuff, I feel like it's more of an event that stuff doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, it's weird. If you could take that through the rest of your life, you'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy...
But this dude... Just boom, done, dead, on stage, laying on your back. Not a bad way to go. And not a bad way to go thinking that he's still getting laughs. Like, he was done, and people were still laughing.
Did the MC go up after? Or did you just end the show?
I don't know. It's a good question. At some point, they had to bring someone to get him out of there.
Right, right. But do you just lower the curtain? Or is it a...
Yeah. It didn't sound like it was that classy of a joint.
Well, that's the only thing that bothers you is, like, you know, that's what, you know, guys would always say. I don't want to die in one of those horrible hotels in, like, Detroit or something like that.
Right. I just wouldn't want it to be in a place like that had an awful comedy name.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like one of those, like, you know, you don't want to die at Bananas.
Or Rooster Teeth Feathers.
Yeah. Some Cousin Grins or Uncle Grins, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what's the other one was the, not Chuckles, but Flappers. That might be a bad one, too.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good... Yeah. If you do it, it should be in a theater.
Right.
Where are you working tomorrow?
I'm doing the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, which is like this little town that Robin Williams lived in. And Dana Carvey also lived there for a while, too. And they used to just do this show every Tuesday. And so it kind of got sold out from that. So now there's this kind of like loyal base at this kind of old, you know, it's like a vaudeville era theater. So they just do a show there every Tuesday. So it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good. The you could die there.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be so bad.
I mean, I know people probably ask you this. So, like, today, did you find out yesterday you're doing Rogan, or you knew for a while?
I knew for about a week.
Okay. So when you go in there today, what's the atmosphere, the mood? Because I feel like you could go four different ways. You could either start drinking with him, some kind of wine. You could smoke a cigar. You could talk about Teslas. I feel like it could go just depending on his mood.
Well, he was in pain because his arm was all messed up.
Oh, really?
And he decided that he was going to smoke before we started for the pain. I just looked the other way because the times when I've been there and shared with him drinking or whatever, the shows are, I'm never as funny. I'm never as good. It's fun to kind of hang that way, but I know that I'm not nearly as funny or the show's not going to be as good.
Yeah, I think you got to be on it when you're there, you know? It's like
you got to be with it and straight and ready to go, and I'll drink some coffee, but not even too much of that because it's 3 hours long and you don't want to have to go run out and go to the bathroom in the middle of it. So, yeah, I just a little water and just straight as an arrow. That's my, you know, you want to do a good show.
Right. I just didn't know if he always, you know, everyone who goes there has the flamethrower or the, start talking about, because I know he became like a diehard Tesla guy since you went there last time, right?
Now he's really into the Tesla. He finally got one and has seen the light.
So did you guys bond over that at all or no? Or did he forget?
A little bit. But we had talked about that, I think, last time a little bit more. But, he still loves it. We were talking a little bit today about how it's just so bizarre that people, especially in America, like, continue to attack that company and that car and, like, wishing for it to fail, which is such a strange thing to me that you have an American-made vehicle that, you know, born and bred from this country, and that you would, it shows how competitive America and big oil and auto is. But it's even like lay people, it's not even just on that level, that how you could not root for this company just doesn't make any sense to me. Whether you have one or not, it's like, this is, you know, this is good for the planet and it came from here. And it's like, why would you want anything but success for this, you know? And I get it if you work for Exxon or something, but just like the regular guy out on the street to be like, I was constantly attacking it. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. It's gotta be like, you know, working for a tobacco company now, working for the oil company. You're like this horrible, you're like this business that's just making the earth worse. You know, it's like people are still fighting over it, and you know, and the Tesla it made electric cars cool, man. I mean, people love them. I mean, Rogan was like a diehard muscle car fanatic, and just the fact that a guy with that profile switched over is like a big deal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I just don't get like what. it seems to me like, you know, an American success story, I'd rather root for that than root against it. It just is bizarre to me.
Well, it's like the coolest thing that America actually makes, right? There's like Apple and Tesla. That's the coolest thing that like people from other countries want to get, and like my because you haven't gotten the other one, have you? Are you in line to like try to get a different one, or are you keeping this one for the long haul?
No, I'm just gonna keep it. I'll be keeping it for a while.
Yeah, because what's the one that's coming out, the Y or something?
Yeah, I try not to look because then I'll be unhappy with what I have. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd definitely do it if it was, like, in my range now. But we're even talking now. It's like I haven't been home in, like, a month. And so I have this car already sitting there that I'm paying for that I haven't used in a month. So.
Yeah, I know, exactly. When are you done with the road?
Next, let's see. I come back the 28th, I think. So I'm going.
That's good.
I'm going to New York this weekend, and then I'm in Toronto, and then I'm done. So.
Oh, good. You've been a lot of time in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't done those clubs in a couple years, so I did Montreal. It was always kind of a good city. I've got some fans there, and then. The Toronto is always a great comedy city too, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you heard, there was like a big compliment paid your way on a podcast. I don't know if you remember. I remember when we did like Milwaukee somewhere, and the kids in the hall were also there. Like
Milwaukee? Yeah, that was Milwaukee.
Yeah, and they were like kind of in the lobby, like just talking shop. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, when we came off of doing our show, we came home and those guys were in the same hotel.
Yeah, yeah, and they were talking about how like that night, like one of the crew guys dropped like a water bottle on the stage. So then the show just went in like this completely different direction. So then they're like, do we have that guy drop the water bottle for the rest of the tour so we can do it that way? And Dave Foley and those guys I met a couple times. They're like, yeah, we're doing an actual show. You guys can just bring your jokes. You know, they were just like joking. But apparently that Bruce McCullough, I don't know if you know, he's one of the guys. He's kind of directed a few things.
Yeah, he's one of the cast members.
Yeah, he paid you a big compliment because he was, I think it was on Mark Maron's podcast. He was talking about how he does stand-up once in a while. And he's like, I think that I'm funny. And then Tom Papa goes up. And then he's like, I realize that I'm not that good at stand-up.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, Tom Papa's like amazing. And the crowd is going to this crazy other level that I could have never got them to, and I thought I actually did okay. Like, he's like, if I hadn't seen him do it, I probably would think that I'm good. But he's like, I know I don't put in the time, and a guy like that is, like, at the top of the... He's like, it's still fun for me, but he's like, I know that it's not, like, a thing that I can concentrate on. But, yeah, I thought
that's very cool.
So I don't know what...
I love that.
You must have done it in Largo or something, or... I can't imagine where he would have gone.
No, I saw him at that other theater, the Dynasty Typewriter.
Oh, theater. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We were on, I think maybe Steve Agee's show or Zach Galifianakis, somebody. We did a show together. And I was always a huge fan of his. I mean, they were doing their sketch thing before I started comedy. So I just love those guys when their show was out. The Kids in the Hall was just like, you know, it was like revolutionary.
Oh yeah, they're my favorite still. Yeah, I love all those guys.
They were so good. And that's cool. That's good to know. You know, he actually did a show that night that a joke that night that I can't get out of my head.
Oh really? So,
yeah, it was just like, you know, sometimes a comic gives you shines light on something that you just can't stop thinking about. And he was talking about getting older and you know all the stuff like he used to be able to do, and how much stronger he was, and now he's at a place where he is doing like all of the little tips to keep your to give yourself more energy through your day, and like and then he's one of the tips is putting on a fresh pair of socks halfway through your day, kind of reboots and gets you through a couple more hours. And every once in a while, I think about that. Well, that's good. How did Marc Maron respond?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was just, he was like, yeah, yeah, he doesn't miss a beat. He's one of those guys. Oh, you know, he wasn't like overly, because, you know, if it was complimenting someone else.
No, I'm yeah, sure Mark wouldn't do that.
I'm sure he was waiting for Bruce to tell him how funny he was. I think he did eventually. He was like, I'm such a big fan of the podcast, but I think Mark always gets mad when people don't compliment him on his stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love those guys. Good. I loved, you know, I whenever I go to Toronto, there's a place called the Rivoli, which is where they started. And it's also the place where... Dieter, remember that Mike Myers character?
Uh-huh.
He was a waiter at the Rivoli, this German guy. So there's it's like this cool, it's kind of like Largo, but just a little smaller kind of artsy room. And they do like shows on Mondays. And I always try to go up there because that's where all the Kids in the Hall stuff started. So
yeah. Where was that?
It's in Toronto. It's called the Rivoli.
Oh, okay.
But
so those, they were all Toronto?
That's where they started, yeah. I think Bruce is originally from Calgary and then moved there. And then, yeah, it was Dave Foley, Mark McKinney, who ended up being on Saturday Night Live later.
Right.
And Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking on the other guy. But Kevin. Cheers. Kevin McDonald, yeah. Yeah, that show was, I think, what, 5 seasons? But that was, like, HBO, I think, was the first season. So it was, like, HBO was just George Carlin, Young Comedian specials, and the Kids in the Hall. And that was, like, where I got all my comedy, besides Saturday Night Live.
Amazing. God, those guys were so funny.
But,
did you, when you were younger, did you like the SCTV, talking about weird Canadian comedy?
Yeah, you know,
it would come on after SNL,
see,
late at night.
Yeah, I don't know if I watched. I think I watched all that stuff later on because now I know where all the, you know, the genius of it came from. You know, supposedly Norm Macdonald even asked permission for the Jeopardy sketch. I guess was based on an SCTV thing called like Wing Nuts or Dingbats or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like this talk.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like a game show that like all the people are idiots. And
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, SCTV, that you'd watch SNL and it would be, you know, pretty, you know, depending on the year, it'd be pretty straightforward, very funny stuff. And then if you could stay up really late, you could catch SCTV after that. And it was like you just went through SNL. It all kind of made sense. And then you just went into Weird Town where Eugene Levy and young John Candy and they would just, some of it would make sense. And then others, you would just be like, what is happening? But you, but you knew it wasn't on them as much as it was on you. Like it was like you had to try and just look a little harder and try and grow up a little bit to be able to catch the humor.
Right, right. Yeah, and it kind of goes full circle now. Well, this might help you because I think Bruce is he directs episodes of that Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like Eugene Levy and his kid and like apparently it's like the biggest Canadian sitcom ever or something, but it's kind
hilarious.
Of,
have you ever seen it?
No, I know. Well, is Chris Elliott in it or there's somebody
yeah.
else in it too?
Chris Elliott's in it.
I haven't had a chance to watch, but maybe now you can...
It's really funny. It's really funny.
Yeah, I have to check it out. I know they had some of it on Hulu, maybe, or Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's Hulu. Man, they're really good. And Eugene Levy's kid is really hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Like probably
I don't know what he looked like.
Like 30 or something, but yeah, just so damn funny. That's actually one of those shows I should get back into. I couldn't get into Game of Thrones, but maybe I can go back to Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I missed out on that whole thing. It's kind of crazy. I loved dragons and all that stuff when I was a kid, too. But yeah. I've never liked any of the Lord of the Rings movies. I've never liked any of this Game of Thrones stuff. I don't know what I'm missing.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things that when I walked into to do Rogan's podcast today, him and his buddy were playing video games against each other. And they just have like these monitors all set up and the keyboards, and they're just going crazy with the, what was it? Quake, I think is what it's called.
Oh, that's an old game.
And I'm just watching the two, and like, you know, we've had this conversation 1,000 times, but you just see people enjoying something so much. You're like, there's got to be something to it. I must be missing out. And then you do it. But some things are just beyond your reach.
Yeah, but you got your bread, you've got music, you've got comedy.
I want to do it all.
Well, I think video games have always been known as like a universal waste of time, right?
Yeah, until recently, until kids started doing it professionally and making millions of dollars. And getting endorsements and all the rest of it and having YouTube channels. It's not so much a waste of time for the people at the top.
No, but I mean, for you to play it, like for me, it's like if I had an hour to waste, maybe I play Angry Birds or one of those games. You know what I mean? It's kind of like something to do when you don't have anything else to do. And I always have something to do. So,
you know. I know. And, you know, when I was watching them play, I was like, you know, these fantasy kind of games that go on and on. I mean, I'm sure there's something to it. I'm sure if I sat down and played, it'd be great. But I always like just playing the NFL game or the baseball.
Yeah,
Or FIFA. You know, like that was, for me, it's like you play a game, it's over in 20 minutes, it's just as intense, and then you get out of there.
Yeah, what was the, did you have a computer system when you were a kid? Did your dad like have any kind of a
no? Like, they IBM weren't invented yet.
Well, I mean, we had Pong, right?
We had Intellivision was like the fancy one, and Atari.
Yeah, but even that's like a little like we had because I just saw one in, forget what store it was, but it was a retro Commodore 64. Game. I don't know if you had that. Mm-hmm. That was like our first computer.
Right. I remember that.
And that was like, it didn't even have a disk drive. You had a cassette, like the games were on cassette tapes. Like that's how old this was. It was so crazy to think about.
Yeah, I know. And now you can play a game on your phone that's like, would have blown your mind as a child.
Yeah. So you have to believe that these kids are like, you either have to go so far the other way that you're just bored with all of that stuff, or you're just going to be bored, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we all have our things. I know, you know, look, there's going to come a point when our podcast will be done and our stand-up career will be over and it'll all come winding down, and that's when you break out your big box of drugs and whatever new video game there is, and just plow for the last 10 years.
Well, that is interesting, right? Because that's not, you know, like, my parents are at the kind of, like, retirement community, and there's no one old enough yet that has, like, video games. Like, my dad liked Mario Brothers, but it's not something he would, like, kind of sit around and do now. It will be funny in, like, 10 or 15 years, there's, like, a retirement generation that's like sitting around playing video games.
Yeah, you're right. I had a sad moment the other night when I was flipping around the channels and they were showing Paul Simon and the Stones and Aerosmith and Bruce Springsteen and U2, and it was one of those buy this compilation of all this great old music, like the doo-wop stuff that was like, you know, they advertise like, remember those great hits back in the 50s? And you're like, it's all just like, it was cool at one point, now it's old. Well, all the stuff we grew up on is now officially ancient.
Yeah, yeah. That's, did you, that was one thing I watched was a Rolling Stones, it was their first tour of Cuba. Like, they were the first rock show in Cuba. And this is only, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And it's just Keith, you know, they're still, you know, they're not young by any stretch. And, you know, he's just at his hotel, and he's sitting down for this interview. But you can tell, like, he's got, like, a Captain America T-shirt on and sweatpants. But he has a desk plate that says, you know how like you have one on your desk? I forget what yours says, but it just says Mr. Wonderful on it.
Yeah.
And he's just got, you know, sunglasses. He's got a notebook and like two other things. But he's like trying to pretend that he's got like a big boy office. It's like it was the funniest thing I ever saw. Because he's like, I want to pretend like I'm a business guy, even though I don't do anything. Because it was the hotel room. He traveled. There's a guy that packs up the Mr. Wonderful desk plate and brings it to all the places.
That's great. All right, man. Are you back in town next week?
No. I got to go. I'm going from New York right to Toronto, and then I fly back at the end of this month. Yeah, 29th.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, this was a killer, but had to had to get head above water, get some money, get some new jokes, and then we'll be ready for the summer.
And then we'll join our forces and roll into the summertime.
Yeah, man. So you're just in town? You're doing the Nashville live from here?
Yeah, I'll do that, and then live Come to Papa right after that at the end of the month, and then up to that Boston show.
All right, cool.
In Northampton. All right, man. Safe travels. Keep in touch.
Okay, you too.
Enjoy your life.